On Tuesday's front page, more clashes in Libya as rebels continued their sweep in Tripoli.
This much is clear. The Gaddafi regime is coming to an end.
President Obama assessing the situation half a world away. New York prosecutors moved to dismiss sexual assault charges against Dominique Strauss-Kahn. And a killing that has Jackson, Mississippi reflecting on race. The victim was black. The suspects are white. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says there's little doubt that Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi's hold on power is slipping, but Gaddafi loyalists are still in the streets and on rooftops, and bursts of gunfire injured or killed at least a dozen people. President Obama said Gaddafi's rule is ending, but he sounded a note of caution when he spoke to reporters from his vacation retreat on Martha's Vineyard.
This is not over yet. As the regime collapses, there's still fierce fighting in some areas, and we have reports of regime elements threatening to continue fighting. Although it's clear that Gaddafi's rule is over, he still has the opportunity to reduce further bloodshed by explicitly relinquishing power to the people of Libya and calling for those forces that continue to fight to lay down their arms for the sake of Libya.
One big question remains unanswered, and that is, where is Gaddafi? The rebels say they don't know. Times correspondent John Burns tells us he thinks he's right there where he's been all along.
In Tripoli, the ever wily Muammar al-Gaddafi, who didn't survive 42 years as Libya's leader for nothing, this man has a lot of moxie. That's where I believe he's most likely to be, the Bab al-Azizia compound in Tripoli, an area about a third the size of Central Park. But there is a substantial underground complex there. We know he has spent a good deal of the war there. We know that NATO knew that he was there because they also used bunker-busting bomb to try and unseal the exits. If he is there, I don't think he can lead a fight back, not effectively. All he can do is survive, and that not for very long. Of course, there's been a good deal of speculation that he might have fled the capital. The big problem there is who on earth would want him at this time? He's under indictment by the International Criminal Court for crimes of war, including genocide. Many of the countries he might wish to go to are signatories of that accord, including, I believe, South Africa and Venezuela, which might have been his two resorts of choice. So I think this man is now a solitary or nearly solitary fugitive.
Times correspondent John Burns. Elsewhere on Tuesday's front page, New York prosecutors moved to dismiss criminal charges against Dominique Strauss-Kahn. He's the former head of the International Monetary Fund who was accused of raping hotel housekeeper Nafissatou Diallo. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office filed a 25-page court document. It amounts to a look at a case that was collapsing. It said prosecutors couldn't be sure she was telling the truth. Prosecutors met with Ms. Diallo and her lawyer on Monday. The meeting lasted less than 15 minutes. Lawyer Kenneth Thompson came out and held a press conference to criticize District Attorney Cyrus Vance Jr., saying he had denied Ms. Diallo the right to justice. Strauss-Kahn has maintained throughout the investigation that he's innocent. In Jackson, Mississippi, the killing of a black man by white teenagers has prompted reflections on race. James Craig Anderson was robbed and beaten in a motel parking lot in June. He was also run over by a pickup truck. The teenager, the police say was at the wheel, could be facing the death penalty. Inside Tuesday's Times, thousands of bullet-riddled bodies are buried in dozens of unmarked graves across Kashmir. A state human rights commission announced that conclusion after a three-year investigation. Many of the bodies are likely to belong to civilians who disappeared more than a decade ago in a brutal insurgency. Angry villagers in Afghanistan stoned a Taliban commander to death. His bodyguard was also killed. The incident was an unusual reversal of brutality, and some Afghan officials say it points to a growing sense of security. Others said it was merely vengeance. The Taliban commander and the bodyguard had roared in on motorcycles. They opened fire on a 60-year-old farmer in Helmand Province who was accused of helping the government. Tuesday's Business Day section says the FDA is tackling food safety problems. The agency is writing rules required by a landmark law passed in December. Deputy FDA Commissioner Mike Taylor says it's an enormous undertaking. There is concern that budget cuts could short-circuit the new rules. Already this summer, there's been a drumbeat of food-related illnesses. People have been poisoned by strawberries, ground turkey, imported papayas, and domestic sprouts. German politicians are making clear they're opposed to issuing eurobonds. Many economists say Europe should start issuing bonds guaranteed by all 17 euro nations. Germany's Bundesbank complained the weaker countries' liabilities were being offloaded on the stronger ones. The foreign affairs spokesman for Chancellor Angela Merkel's own Christian Democratic Union complained that eurobonds would push up Germany's interest rates. Here in New York, allegations that teachers are cheating have tripled since 2002. This has to do with test tampering and grade changing. City Schools Chancellor Dennis Walcott says he doesn't believe there's more misconduct. He says email makes it easier to report your suspicions, and there are stronger protections now for whistleblowers. You ain't nothing but a hound dog, quit snooping on my door. That was rock and roll songwriter Jerry Lieber's breakout hit. Longtime partner Mike Stoller wrote the music. Together, they had 15 number one hits by 10 different artists. They helped launch Elvis Presley's career with that song and Jailhouse Rock. That's actually their favorite version with Big Mama Thornton. And their last big hit was a ballad called Is That All There Is? Peggy Lee sang it. Lieber based the lyrics on a short story by German author Thomas Mann. Jerry Lieber died on Monday. He was 78. That's our preview of Tuesday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.